Hey, Wonderfuls, welcome to episode 495 of the JV Club with my guest, Subha Agarwal. I am laughing because I can't believe we're at 495. I got to be honest with you, I got zero official plans for episode 500. I am neck to eyeballs deep in work, and I just have not been able to put together something splashy. That's sort of business as usual for me, I guess, with the podcast, but I don't want anyone to think that I am not super excited that I'm edging towards 500 or that we won't figure something out. But in the interim, please enjoy this conversation with the wonderful Subha. I know you're going to enjoy it. I'm just going to drop in a little reminder that SF Sketchfest is around the corner. The corner being the next couple of months because we start in January, January 20th through February 5th. Lots of amazing shows, sfsketchfest.com. And I hope to see you there for some shows, my buddies. In the meantime, enjoy this episode with Subha. I don't want to say I'm feeling sleepy because that is not anything that anybody wants to hear when they're about to drink. It's more like I feel soup drunk because my sweetie just made some wonderful like wintry soup with like kabocha squash, and he handmade little like noodle and ground meatballs and turkey meat. And it's,
oh, that'll yeah. put you out. That'll
I'll tell you
hibernate.
What, and it's like not. It's it just turned noon. And like my enthusiasm was such that I was like, oh my God, like, of course, you know, it was good anyway. And then you're like, you're excited. I'm excited. And then I ate it. And then I was like, "Pooh." like, I hope I can focus thoughts and I don't just say stuff like broth. So we'll see. We'll see how I do. You look like you're drinking something.
Coffee. Yeah, I need
smart,
coffee.
Smart opposite of what I've done. And maybe you should just leave the interview. This would be actually really good. Good for both of us. Where are you? Is it noon where you are too? I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm in LA.
Okay, nice. And are you feeling like any sense of the season? It feels kind of like fall now, right?
Oh, it's cold. It's cold as shit. I'm like, ugh.
Let's not sugarcoat it. It got cold. Again, I do a podcast with people who are in like the upper part of Michigan. No, the lower part of Michigan, but who, you know, I cannot say something is cold. I cannot say something is cold because it's like below zero there. So
it's wild.
Yeah. Do you grow up in Illinois?
Yeah, I did. So I'm familiar.
You've had the
with...
winters.
Yes.
Yeah. And now you're totally spoiled and you live in LA and it's fucking cold.
It's weird though because like you layer. So it's like when you're in those cold climates, you layer. Your house is set up to be warm. You have heaters, you have blankets. So it's like,
it's not openly like, winter. It's openly and out winter.
So it's like I'm still cold. Like whether I'm in LA or Illinois, I'm cold.
Yeah. No, you're totally right. There's something about the... Yeah, there's something about the LA-ness where, like, even I, you know, it was like 30 degrees the other night, and I was going for a long kind of walk through the hills to, like, get, you know, my blood pressure up and, like, warm up. But I was wearing, like, a knit cap because it was cold. My ears were cold.
Yeah.
And I felt like I got some looks. You would think that it would be the opposite where people in LA would be like, ooh, let's bundle up because we can't handle this. But there were still, it was like being on a, you know, in a cold day in Michigan where people were still wearing like jean shorts and looking at me like, okay, stocking cap? No. I don't think so. This is LA. And you're like, no, but it's
I don't care. I will bundle up like the Michelin Tiger Man, just every piece of clothing I can own.
Yes, yes. Was that when you were growing up in Illinois, were you like consciously aware, like, I don't want to do this weather. Like, I think maybe this is it for me.
For whatever reason, when I was like really young, like middle school or whatever, I would not wear winter clothes. Like I would rip off my jacket. I was like the stereotype of a white man in the winter where it's like just cargo shorts, shoes. Like I refused to feel the cold. And then as I got older, I don't know, maybe I got weaker. I don't know.
Our circulation changes. It's fine. It's fine. We're ladies. It's fine. Yeah, I definitely get that. And you, what took your, like, are you first generation born in America? Or are you, and I'm not asking that as a racist person. I'm asking that because I believe I read that about you.
Yeah, yeah.
So where did your parents come from and what settled them in Illinois?
Well, they came from India, and then I think they came to Illinois because we had a cousin that was already here. So they were like, oh, we'll just come here and look for work. I think that's how, like, a lot of immigrants do
shit. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Where it's like, oh, somebody we know in this random...
Yeah. And sometimes it ends up populating an entire town in, like, a delightful way, and you have this, like, rich mixing of cultures and stuff, and then sometimes it's like, two of my family members are here and us, and that's it.
Right. Sort of depends. I mean, the suburbs of Chicago have, like, a pretty heavy Indian population. I think Devon Avenue used to be way more popping than it is right now, if I remember what my mom said. But, yeah, there is still, like, very heavy Indian community there.
Yeah. And I also saw, and, you know, listen, it's part of, like, sort of what's out there about you and your upbringing, but... When you read as a person who doesn't know someone yet that their mother got told on, like, or you got told on to your mother by psychics, like, everything about that is like, that's like, you know, catnip for me, because I love being a teenager, weird parental relationships, wonderful parental relationships, and I'm totally fascinated by, you know, people who are ostensibly psychic.
Yeah, that was wild. It was like she like went to India to get my like star chart read or whatever. And which I was told is more common than initially I thought it was. Cause I was like, okay. I was like, this woman's out of her mind. But then like some of my Indian friends were like, nah, they do that shit. And I was like, all right. I was like, you could have just asked any white woman in Los Angeles.
Seriously.
They have star charts here.
Yes, they do. But, we're required. We actually are required to know how to tell everyone's horoscope.
But, like, I guess it's, like, because I was watching India and Indian Matchmaker on Netflix, and, like, they do that shit, too. And they do, like, face reading or whatever, which my mom didn't do, thank God, because I'm like, that's just a hair away from craniology, which is, I just can't help but picture some weird dude measuring your skull.
Now, that feels old school.
Yeah, but she went back, had my star chart run, and then, like, in the joke, I say it as, like, a joke, where I say, like, he told her I was a hoe, but, like, he said I would go from husband to husband. That was the phrase.
Oh,
I know,
no.
Which doesn't bode well for my marriage, but what does he know?
Is that like husband to husband with the implication that there's more to husband to husband to husband after that? Or is it just two husbands?
I don't know.
You know? Like, she'll go to husband to husband. Like, okay, well, I guess she's going to have two husbands. But I feel like the way that's phrased, you sort of imagine that there's an ellipsis after it. And it's like, you're just going to cycle in and out, Elizabeth Taylor style.
I can't. Like, I went through one wedding, and that's enough for me for my lifetime. Yeah, it was wild. And my mom, like came back home and was like, we have to have a prayer for you and all this shit. I was like, fucking relax. I'm like, that's so crazy. But yeah, but I think the implication of husband to husband was your daughter is hoeing around, which like, I don't really believe, I'm not like a psychic person. So I was like, yeah, I mean, if you had guessed any first generation American Indian daughter, teenage girl growing up in America, yeah, she's probably doing some shit. So like, did you have to go to the stars or did you check Facebook? Just.
Right. Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think like there's a whole thing that I'm also fascinated by, which is this idea, right? Which is this idea of like psychics telling you something and then you like manifesting it.
Yeah.
Which is sort of the, you know, like cute psychic version of what we do to people when we're like, you, this type of person is criminals or drug dealers. And these types of people who live in these neighborhoods tend to be like this.
Yeah.
Where you're just sort of, like, you're pounding the idea in that, like, and you know where I'm going with this is that, like, I'm sure the last thing your mom wanted was for you to be like, I guess I will then. But, like, I feel like that's what my response would have been. Like, if my mom had said that to me, my mom being a conservative-ish, yet bleeding heart liberal Mormon, which is totally confusing in every way, but, so, like, definitely was, like, questioning my choices and stuff. I feel like she was like, the bishop told me he had a conversation with God and you're going to have, you know, too much premarital sex. I would be like, sounds like permission, you know?
I think at that point I wasn't like hoeing around, but I was like dating-ish, and mm-hmm. that's like was a huge no to my parents. So that I was already doing whatever I was doing. So it's like okay.
Do you have siblings?
I do. I have an older brother, and he was like way more traditional than me. So like okay. he did everything the right way. Was like never in trouble. And then for whatever reason, I just turned out like. I don't want to say way more Americanized, but, like, in a way, yeah. Like, way more Western.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because, like, with the second kid, the parents tend to, like, you know. No, because they were helicopter parenting the shit out of me. I was going to say they kind of ignore you, but no.
Can't even say that. What what kind of high school did you go to? Was it a public school, private school? Mm-hmm.
Well, my parents, like, moved into a neighborhood specifically to go to this public school. So sure. it's, like, it was intense. It's one of the best in the country. It was, like, hyper-competitive. I hated it. But it was, I think, like, and between it, at any given time, there's between, like, 4,000 to 5,000 students, I would say. Cause okay.
That seems big, right?
Yeah, because my graduating class was, like, 1,100 or some shit like that. So, okay. yeah.
Yeah, that's big. It was huge. And it was competitive. Was it, mm-hmm. like, so it was academically competitive? Was it also, like, and we have this great arts program, and we have this huge football team and stuff like that? Was it just sort of all-around, sure. like, golden school?
I'm sure there was sports happening.
You sound exactly like me. Oh, I was like, I know we had a stadium. I think.
I know they're actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I know that they had, like, good sports teams because I was not good enough to get on them. I did.
Ah, the memories are coming back.
I did try to get back into soccer and, like, get on the soccer team, but, like, I could not. It was, like, it was super competitive. So, yeah, I'm sure it was probably the same for, like, football and volleyball and all that shit. But, yeah, it was weird. It was also, like, very... I want to say, like, separated, which people have, like, mixed feelings about, where it's, like, the AP or, like, college level, like, kids were taking college level classes, they all took those classes and for the most part hung out with each other. And then mm-hmm. there was, like, people on different tracks just kind of stuck to their own. So it was, like, very isolated in a way, you know? Mm. I'm not sure that's good. Nerds should be bullied. That's how you avoid Zuckerbergs, you know? Like, it's just... weird to have our own little ecosystems, you know?
Yeah. So does that mean that you were up in the... Were you hanging out with the AP kids? Were you... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you,
I was.
But you weren't feeling... Like, were you sort of a good... A begrudgingly good student where you're like, look, I'm a good student. That doesn't mean I like school. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, well, it became my whole personality, unfortunately, as much as I wish it didn't.
But I'm sure it was in your astrology. Don't worry. Yeah, it had nothing to do with you.
I looked at, because, like, I was very, very heavily bullied when I was younger. And then, like, I kind of had one teacher in middle school that I liked. So I actually tried in her class and did really well. And then my parents kind of cracked down after that, where they're like, yeah, we know you're smart. So, like, stop, because this is about to go on your permanent record.
Yeah.
Whereas before that, they were just kind of like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with you. Do whatever you want. And then when I did well in that class, it was also the first time I had gotten positive attention from my family and my classmates who wanted help from me.
Oh, wow.
So then, like, it became this thing in my brain of, like, equating, like, academics with self-worth and positive attention. So
sure.
It became everything, where it was, like, kids would come up to me and, like, ask for help with their homework. And that was, like, the first time anybody noticed me in a positive way. Hmm. That was, like, how I made my first group of friends, was, like, these Korean kids who, like, were like, oh, we need help with this. And they're like, oh, you don't have any friends? Come hang out at our youth group at church. Aww. And that was, like, how I, embarrassingly, the dorkiest sentence. Like, I helped these kids with their homework, and then I ended up hanging out with their youth group.
That's a wonderful sentence. Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Hey, I'm Dan McCoy.
I'm Stuart Wellington.
And I'm Elliot Kalin.
Listen, you like podcasts, right? Sure you do. Don't try and lie to me. You're listening to one right now, so why not try a different one called R1, The Flophouse?
Uh-huh. And on The Flophouse, we watch a movie and talk about it. And then sometimes we also do other stuff.
It's all meant to be funny and fun, and we think you'll have a good time. And just to be clear, the name of the podcast is not Hour One, The Flophouse. It's just called The Flophouse. I do a lot of correcting Dan.
The Flophouse. A lot of correcting Dan.
When you sort of, I'll say, came into your own in the way that that sort of took shape for you in high school, you said that you were kind of dating and stuff. So how did that, like...
Well, not in high school. That was more...
Okay.
In college. In high school, I was like, you know, in the 90s, everybody was like super mean to fat people. And I wasn't like, I wasn't even fat because I used to think of myself as a fat kid. And then I'll look back at photos and I was like, I wasn't even fat. I was like, these bitches were just super mean. Like,
yeah.
I was like chubby. And then like, I think I stopped being a tomboy in middle school, though. But I was still chubby, and I didn't brush my hair, which was gross. Like, I was just, like, messy. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I think halfway through, I started... When I wanted to get back into soccer and shit, I started running again. And, like, the weight dropped off, and I started, like, actually trying to wear, like, nice clothes and brush my hair and shit. And it wasn't until, like, my senior year of high school where people were like, oh, you're attractive. Like, it was...
Yeah.
Like, one of my friends even, like, saw me and, like, was like, I knew there was a pretty person under there. Like, and she was talking about me brushing my hair out of my face.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, I was a fucking mess. I remember, and I think this was middle school, beginning of high school. It was, like, those big, big Steve Madden platform shoes were super popular.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And I would constantly be tripping and, like, my ankles would be twisting because, like, my feet roll in a little bit when I walk and those things are super unstable.
Yeah.
So I'd be, like, and I was a huge nerd, so I'd be carrying all of these textbooks. And then I would trip and my books would go flying everywhere. And, like, people called it the super radius, where it would just be, like, a semicircle of shit.
How was this not happening to other people? Because I definitely remember those shoes, and I, too... Like, I enjoy a platform in that it is far more forgiving than a heel, which I feel that I just can't wear anymore. Somewhere along the line, my body was like, I'm going to reject this like it's poison. But but like platforms, you know, you're like, okay, I'm fine. Like, my foot is still sort of in the same shape it's supposed to be, but I'm just like off the ground a little. But if they are poorly made, that is a recipe for ankle twists all day long. And I feel like everyone should have been doing that. I'm sure when I wore those Steve Madden platforms, like, I was dropping everything I was carrying and, like, hurting myself. So how did Suha get in the line of fire?
I think I was just, like, it was so constant because I have that foot pattern where, like, your feet roll in when you walk a little bit.
Yeah.
Or like you need, like, extra arch
facial
support.
Facial planchi.
So I platforms are the opposite of that.
Fair. Yes.
It was wild.
You need a platform that, like, is a little higher in the middle, weirdly. Like, on the inside, it's higher, and it sort of tilts your feet outwards. That'd be super weird. No one's saying I should become a shoe designer at all. Okay, so it was more in college that you started dating. Were you doing, like, theater-y kind of performative stuff at that point, or were you sort of...
I was doing stand-up comedy. So
you were doing in high school. You're telling me in high school you're doing stand-up.
Senior year of high school.
What a badass.
College.
Get. That's awesome. That's so cool. I would never. I mean, I don't have that impetus to do it now. I've never done it. But to do it then, I just don't know. That's super impressive to me.
It was weird because, like, I wasn't the funny kid. I think one of my friends, who was, like, this Russian chick with this long blonde braid, was like, I see more of as a clown than a comedian, which is such a fucking, like, of course. It was such a Maria thing to say, but it was so true because I didn't crack jokes at all. Like, I was very quiet and very weird.
Huh.
And I got into comedy to, like, learn how to develop a personality. So
wow. You went all the way in to, like... I guess I'll have a material as part of my new personality. Mm-hmm. What were you writing about? Like, what do you look back on those early stand up sets and go like, oh bless? Or are you like, no, like I had it going on. Like I
oh, God,
wrote
it
what
so...
I knew and
It was embarrassing. It was fucking embarrassing. Because initially, I started out as like a clone of the first comedian I saw, who was Russell Peters.
Oh, sure.
And he does a lot of like Indian people are like this and blah, 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 blah. So I was parroting that, even though I was growing up in like a very white area when I was like younger. And when we moved into the neighborhood with the high school, it was more diverse. But it was like, oh, I have no idea what the fuck I'm taught. I'm just spreading false information.
Right.
Like I was just, it was a
but
lot
isn't
of
isn't it hilarious false information? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah.
It was a lot of me making fun of my parents and then a lot of like Indian jokes. And then eventually I started like developing.
But that's amazing to have the, I mean, again, like I grew up in a place where I don't think anybody was talking about young people doing stand up. In fact, I just realized, wow, this is the first time I'm realizing to this day, I don't think I know where to go see stand up in Tucson, Arizona. Like I don't know where that is. Is there a comedy club?
I mean, I'm sure there's either like a brewery that does comedy or like a Chuckle Hut.
Yeah, you're right. There's a mill. The U of A is there. So there's definitely way, way, way many breweries. Mm-hmm. But as much as I was into comedy when I was younger, when I lived there, I was into like alt sketch. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have, in my mind, like stand up was still like, it was like uncool. You know what I mean? You had to be like, it wasn't punk rock enough, even though there was like super punk rock, amazing. Like Janine Garofalo is not a like, you know, hey, get a load of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I just couldn't see that, you know, I think when I was younger.
I mean, I still wouldn't call stand-up comedy cool.
It's pretty cool.
For a lot of us, it's just kind of sad.
Sad is cool. Sadness is cool. Sadness is real and cool.
But it's funny that you said that because I thought you had to be 21 to like do stand-up comedy.
Yeah, and then also that. Yeah, I would think that too.
And then, like, a world history teacher of mine in high school was bragging about how he went to this all-ages open mic. He was, like, trying to seem cool to the kids. And then I was like, wait, there's an all-ages open mic? And that's when I found out about Pressure Cafe, which was the first place I performed at. And then from there, from talking to other comedians, they're like, yeah, you can go to this place. They don't card. Especially, like, 15 years ago, they were way more lax about carding, especially in Chicago.
Yeah.
Because I looked like a fetus. And I was walking in there with my high school backpack. I'm like, nobody gave a shit.
I love that. The high school backpack is, you're like, and I would walk up with my backpack on and do my stand-up routine with my backpack on. Just wanted everyone to know I'm a student. That would be amazing.
Yeah, that's how little they used to give a shit, which is very funny.
No kidding. Yeah. I wonder, I guess, like, you always wonder, did something specific happen or did they just, like, the climate of the culture change enough that everybody sort of went, wait a minute, maybe this isn't good?
Yeah, I don't know when they started cracking down on that shit. I mean, I know in college I had ended up having to get a fake ID specifically to do comedy, which was annoying.
I mean, that's also just great, though. You know that's adorable to be like, yeah, I had a fake ID. What's up?
Oh,
to,
God.
To do stand-up. I should be clear. I was not...
I never used it to drink. It was just this little thing I got in the back of a Pittsburgh hookah shop. And it was like, okay. Like some places like knew it was fake and they would like, there was a bar in Pittsburgh that used to make me wait outside and do the X's on the hands and shit. And then, yeah, there were some places in New York I could never get into because they were like, we're going to take this ID if you try again. And I was like, all right. But yeah.
So you didn't... So when you were in high school, like in terms of maybe a lack of actual romantic encounters happening, did you have crushes on people? Did you like...
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
This is like one of the most embarrassing things. You know, like, what is it? Turnabout? That's where you ask the dude out, right?
Uh-huh.
And there was this kid in my physics class who I had like the biggest crush on. And I was like, I'm going to ask him out. But I was like, hey, Daniel, I have something to say to you. And he kept doing this jokey thing where every time I tried to start the sentence, he would walk away. And like, you know, because he was just fucking with me. He didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
And then he was halfway down the hallway. And I was so frustrated that I just yelled it. I was like, Daniel, will you go to turnabout with me? And he turned around and the look of horror on his face is like scarred into my brain. I literally did not wait for a response. I just ran down the hallway and my friends were there and they had seen the whole thing and they were dying because I literally ran the fuck away. I'm like, I can see at the end of the story, I'm fucking done.
Yeah.
We never talked about it.
Oh, he never, it was just like, great, that we will never speak of this again.
It was understood. Like, the look on his face, it was like he watched somebody run over his dog. I was like, I gotta get out of here. I was like, I can't.
No, thank you, dude. I guess no one knows how to handle anything when they're younger, so I don't know. I definitely had a friend who I had a huge crush on, and he was almost too compassionate in the opposite direction. You know what I mean? Like, I remember calling him and being like, you know, will you go out with me? Like, are we? And this is, you know, it's like sixth grade or something. Like, will you be my boyfriend? And and my memory of it now is that he was like, oh, Janet, that's like, he was way too mature and way too like, he had those parents that you never rebel against. His parents were just awesome throughout. And everyone that he was friends with in high school, like, loved his parents. They were just the cool parents. And they weren't like letting him get away with a bunch of stuff. They were just those kinds of people where you're like, I want to go over and hang out with your mom.
Oh.
And so it makes sense. But I definitely feel like he was like, let's talk about this. Like, I don't want you to feel bad. You know what I mean? Where you're like, no, I really want to get off the phone. This is awful. I'm a child. Like, this doesn't feel good.
He's like, hey, let's sit down for some tea.
Seriously? He would say sit down for some tea. It was too nice. And also, like, it also made me like him more. Do you know what I mean? That was not helpful.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually, like, that's sort of an interesting, like, in terms of straight relationships, it is a little bit of a role reversal, because it was that sort of thing. You might expect more from, like, an empathetic girl who had been sort of taught that it was okay to express feelings or, like, talk about your feelings or whatever. Because that does seem like something that, you know, a boy would be like, will we go out? And the girl's like, listen, I would love to take you for tea. Let's just talk about this. I want us to stay close. Like, what's going on with you? You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was almost, like, hard to learn how to say no, especially as, like, a woman, because you're like, oh, is this going to be murder? Like, I hope this isn't murder. Like, it's so hard to learn 100%. How to navigate.
100%. So when you were doing, like, when you started doing stand-up, did your parents know that? Did they?
No.
Okay.
I mean, yes and no, because they took me to my first open mic, and then they immediately were like, oh, absolutely not. Everyone here is a degenerate and a psychopath, which, accurate. So... they forbade
me. You hate when they're right. Yeah, hate when they're right.
I was like, you're not wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But I just snuck out of the house and did it anyway, and just kept doing it.
Okay. And were they, I guess, were they, like, relieved that you weren't, like, super makey-outy when you were a teenager? Did it feel like they were like, this is all going according to plan?
No, I mean, because it's, like, expected, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So... it's like, well, are you relieved your son didn't burn down the school? It's like, why would he do that? Like, that's how expected it was in their brain.
Right. Okay, right. Mm-hmm. In other words, yes, it's expected that you're not going to.
Yeah.
Gotcha. For a second, I thought you were like, oh, no, they were surprised because it was expected that I would. And I was like, no, that's definitely, that she's saying the polar opposite of that. so you were a fan of comedy. You mentioned Russell Peters. Like, what else were you excited about? Were you a big TV person? Like, did you love going to the movies? Was there music that you're like, this band gets me, you know?
I mean I enjoy that stuff, but I would say I was a big art person. Like,
nice.
I love drawing and painting, and like, I almost went to college for that, but then I was like, I can't, because I mean, I had my parents in my head. I was like, oh, I can't major in art and then also be doing stand-up comedy. I was like, I need a backup. But yeah, no, I loved it. I loved drawing, I loved painting, I loved like fine arts. So that was like my thing.
Do you still do that?
No, unfortunately. I kind of like, it's impossible to have time for that now.
Yeah.
Although I see like some comedians who are like incredible artists and they'll like draw their own posters. I'm like, all right, fucking relax with the talent.
But where are you finding time to do this? Yeah. I think that would probably be me. So music wise, do you say you had like, what were you listening to? Or were you listening to sort of like, what is everyone else listening to? Or
yeah, exactly. It was just like trash, whatever was like pop and like on B96 in the Chicago suburbs, if you know that station. That was playing all of the latest hits. So it was just whatever, like, pop, hip-hop, like...
like, this is what we all like, eh? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Got it. You never know, because, like, I can't tell you how many... I mean, it makes sense because they're in the entertainment industry, but, like, how many people are like, Oh, I was so into musicals. Like, I only listened to, like, Broadway musical soundtracks and stuff.
And, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I definitely was not.
That
was
so sophisticated. I feel like you have to have a parent who's into that shit.
Yeah.
To, like... And, yeah. like, I had very immigrant parents, so I just had, like, my dad listening to little cassettes, and there was, like, some Indian chick singing in a pitch that was so high.
Uh-huh.
It was like, what? I'm like, is this a flute or a vocal cord? Uh-huh. And then, like, in a language I didn't understand. And, of course, when I was a kid, I didn't appreciate it. I was like, shut that shit off. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Put on NSYNC. No, but it was so I didn't have like that influence because my parents were all listening to it and I didn't speak Hindi, so it was like hard for me to get into the music they liked.
Sure.
But yeah, no, my taste was very trash and not sophisticated at all.
oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
Hey, it's John Moe, inviting you to listen to Depresh Mode with John Moe, where I talk about mental health and the lives we live with all kinds of people. Famous writers.
David Sedaris, welcome to Depresh Mode.
Thanks so much for having me.
Movie stars.
Jamie Lee Curtis, welcome to Depresh Mode.
I am happy to be here.
Musicians.
I am in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm talking to Amy Mann.
Great to talk to you.
And song exploders.
Hrishikesh Hirway, welcome to Depresh Mode.
Thanks so much for having me.
Everyone's opening up on Depresh Mode on Maximum Fun.
So I want to get into this MASH game with you. I like to play a MASH game with all of my listeners. And I'm very interested in this because there are some categories where I have absolutely no idea what you're going to say based on sort of the conversation that we've had so far. So, for example, like, I love hearing from people what three movies they would jump into and just be in for the feel of that world, opposed to like, you know, you're not reliving the plot or anything. What three movies would you pick? I'm dying to know.
That I would jump into. I mean,
and you're in a safety bubble. Like, if you want to go someplace where like bad things happen, sometimes, like if you want to go to the Matrix, you're not going to like get killed.
Oh, I mean, now that you mention it, yeah, we got to go Matrix. I also Up.
You're going to make me cry just thinking about that movie.
I know, right? And then what's a third one? I think Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of a combination of the two, actually, in a way. Like, the first two, you know what I mean? Like, the heart, but also the, like, martial arts radness.
Super cool.
Yeah, this world is completely magical in a way. So that's the first, I think, time I've tried to actually write the entire thing on a tiny line. Mistake. Huge mistake. Okay, give me three foods that in this reality, maybe, you know, you just can't eat with the same enthusiasm and not getting sickness that you could when you were little, like just eating a huge bag of M&Ms. But it could also be like, I don't eat beef in this reality, but in the alternate reality, that's not an issue because beef isn't beef. It's like, you know, safe and great,
so
or whatever.
It's what I would want to eat, basically.
Yeah, you know. And you can have it, and it's not the only thing you're going to eat, but it's if you could have three things that you could just have at the snap of your fingers whenever you wanted, that's that.
Okay. I would say pizza. Like, great pizza.
Great.
Not even a question.
Uh-huh.
So, pizza.
Agreed.
Cheesecake with some type of chocolate mixed into it.
Ooh, yes.
And mutter paneer, which is an Indian food.
Yeah. Any paneer, I'm pretty on board for. I don't think I've
amazing.
Met a paneer I didn't love. Yeah. Okay. Next one. Listen, this is MASH. We're going to have some romance. three people. They can be from any age, any era. Doesn't matter. Cartoons, video game characters. I don't care. But three people that you would like to have, you know, long-term or short-term, kind of sexy times, romance with in this alternate universe.
Oh, boy. That's rough. Oh, duh. Okay. So this guy's from an anime called Black Clover. His name is Yami. So that's one.
Great.
Who else? There's got to be somebody weird. Because I'm like, if it can be anybody, why not be
it
somebody
can be anybody.
Weird, you know?
Yeah.
When
you say weird, How, what are you imagining the weirdness to be? Like just a total weirdo, or like you wouldn't
Looney
see
Tunes.
This coming, but.
Like a Looney Tunes character?
Uh-huh.
I was like, I don't
yes.
want to sleep with any of those people.
I got to put this out there. I'm going to put this out there. Everyone listening who's listened to the podcast a lot knows this, that every once in a while, and it happened again recently, spontaneously someone will say Robin Hood the Fox from the Disney Robin Hood. Like, he is by far the most anthropomorphized, like, you are an animal. You are an animal man. And you have done something very special to a lot of women because... And gay men. He's like, I mean, I hate to say he's a fox, but maybe that's where the term comes from.
I love that's so funny.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Okay. I know this is corny, but I'm going to put my husband in there just.
That's very sweet.
So Sean, we're going to put Sean in there. And
great.
Then probably, why not Thanos?
Great. He's a big bad. He's definitely a good big bad.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Okay, fantastic. All right, next category. Let's do three. I'd love to hear like three alternate universe jobs. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to do it forever. And we're going to assume that all the shitty stuff about every job, because every job has something shitty.
Yeah.
We're going to sort of pull that out. But it doesn't even have to be something that you're doing full time. But three sort of alternate careers that you would like to try on in this MASH world we're making for you. And why?
Marine biologist, because I think shit in the sea is very cool, as scientific as that is.
No, I absolutely think you should sell a t-shirt. It's true. You're going to try to tell me that people who want to be marine biologists don't also want to be badass and don't want to wear a shirt that's like, yeah, shit in the sea is cool, y'all.
Those creatures are so wild. Every time I go to an aquarium or something, I'm like, wow, this is wild.
Yeah.
I mean, my jobs are literally what a 3-year-old would say, paleontologist.
I don't know. If you say firefighter, maybe, or like rocket designer, or astronaut, let's see.
I freaking love dinosaurs, so for sure, paleontologist. And then the last one, now that you mentioned space, is actually astrophysicist.
Yeah, there we go.
I really liked physics when I was in high school and shit. So, and like, space is cool. It's like...
Also, there's cool shit in space.
It's like a
cool
sky
shit
ocean.
Ocean.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool shit in the past, a.k.a. in the ground, a.k.a. fossils. No, I totally agree. Yeah, I didn't take physics, and I feel like, because I was one of those kids who was like, give me the bare minimum of math, like how little math can I get away with, but I'm kind of sad because like, I didn't take astronomy in college, you know what I mean? There's some stuff where I'm like, I feel like when you strip bare and just do the bare minimum of math, you actually miss the way math connects to the universe. And that's the most cool part about it. So I feel like I should have just pushed through, because then I would have, you know, had I gotten to physics, I would be like, oh, now like algebra doesn't bother me so much because like this is cool, you know?
I was like forced to like be good at math. At first I sucked at it because I thought it was super boring. But then like, it was like, oh, my mom's going to murder me if I don't figure out this polynomial.
Good incentive.
So I like pushed through it being difficult to me, and then it became super simple. It was like this weird mental hurdle.
Yeah.
And I was
that's so interesting you would say that. And it's very encouraging.
Anybody listening? It's like, I wish it was like, I mean, this is a terrible thing to say. I mean, I don't know, but I wish it was forced on more children.
Yeah.
I wish more kids were
sense.
Like pushed, because like, also just looking around at society as a whole, I'm like, oh, nobody understands how science works. Like, this should be like a basic requirement for a functioning democracy, because this is wild.
I sort of feel like, sorry, I just got I keep thinking that it's going to stay cold in here, and absolutely does not, because there's no circulation.
Oh, fire airbender shirt.
Got
I
to get
that.
Into yeah I'm gonna do I'm doing a I'm Well, listen, as a marine biologist, potentially, you'll appreciate this, but I'm just starting a Save the Manatees fundraiser, because APA is part manatee.
Oh.
So I'm sort of using, and I host this show about Avatar with Dante Bosco. And so we're going to do like, you know, a little campaign and try to raise some money. And so I'm going to shoot a video for it. Once you and I finish, I got, you know, I'll do a little something. So I was like, I just layered on all this Last Airbender stuff. I look like a child.
No.
Between my like uncombed bangs and like a Avatar hoodie. I'm a child. I also have Converse on because a friend sent me a pair of Converse for like a short film. She's like, break these in. So I have like bright yellow, like, oh, what time, when do you have to be to school today, Janet? So it's appropriate.
As long as you're not holding a pack of Lunchables and wearing overalls, I think you're golden, you know?
Lunchables does sound good. Fuck you, soup. Dude, they're fuck you, handmade delicious Thai soup.
They're so good, though. They really are fun.
It's the salt. I'm telling you. You, when you're a kid, especially, like, when your palate is, I mean, I think that's literally true. And I say that as a person who knows nothing about human anatomy and child development. But I do feel like part of your palate is like, you know, you love, like I could have just lived on candy and like chips and sort of did for a while.
when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Shrugs, loosens collar a little bit. I hear the rustling of some wrappers in the distance. No, I can't see him. It's fine. I dropped my pen. Okay. I love these choices. Also, yeah. I mean, I'm really glad that came up, this idea of kind of pushing through that mental block, because I do feel like I had that mental block and I never pushed past it. And I wish I would have. Maybe I'll take Intro to Astronomy.
You should.
I also feel like, and I'm not saying anything new here, but I do feel like there was a lot of stuff that came my way in high school that I don't remember, that I would serve me very well to know. Do you know what I mean? Like,
100%.
I sort of wish, like, there are high school classes. I mean, I guess that's podcasting now. It's like, oh, do you want to learn about a thing? Like, you can sort of take a course just by listening to a really good podcast about it. So that's helpful.
Yeah. Listen to a lot of history podcasts. I'm like, oh, do you guys know this? And they're like, yeah, that's basic world history in high school.
Have you heard of the Great War?
Okay, there's this thing called Mesopotamia.
Mesopotamia. No, not ringing a bell. Not ringing a bell. Okay, that being said, now you've got me going. Three places and times in history that I can send you back to in a safety bubble, anywhere in the world, anywhere in time. If you want to see the dinosaurs, you're not going to get trampled by a dinosaur because you're in that bubble. So three, any place and time.
One would 1,000% be... dinosaurs. Yes. Have to see that. Two would just be the early 2000s, because I remember enough shit about the future to like totally scam it, like Back to the Future. Just invest
Let's
heavy
get it
in
done,
Apple.
Y'all. Yes.
Start a YouTube channel when it first comes out. Like, I would game the system so hard.
Yes.
Invest Brilliant. In Bitcoin before it all went bust.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, Bitcoin.
So the early 2000s to cheat at life. And then I Brilliant. Would also say, oh, shit. There's, like, so much cool stuff that was going on. I would want to go back to ancient Egypt to see the pyramids get built.
God, yeah. Yes. Okay, wonderful. All right, next category, let us do... I mean, you brought it up when you brought up Thanos and being a superhero. Give me three superpowers that you would like to have.
Optional immortality.
I can turn it on when I need to know I'm not going to die. And then I could sort of know I could die if I want to.
Yeah, because I'm like, living forever could be a curse. So.
I love optional immortality is brilliant. That is brilliant. You gave yourself the best, like, out, literally. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
So there's for sure that, and then you don't need health insurance, which is such a relief. So definitely that.
But watch out, because you don't want to be like Death Becomes Her, where it's like, you're going to live forever, but if you break a leg, that leg never heals.
Oh, no.
I don't know
God,
if you've
no.
seen that movie, but
no.
it's, oh,
what
you've
got to
see it. It's a real gem. It's wild. It's like Goldie Hawn and Meryl Streep.
Oh, wow.
And like Isabella Rossellini plays this sort of like, she's the person who's like, I have a potion. And they take this potion. But then when shit happens to them, like it's unfixable, but you're also not going to die. And it breaks bad super quick. But it's very funny.
I've got to watch Recommend. That. That's yeah. wild.
Recommend. Okay. So we're going to make sure that optional immortality does not include you like twisting your neck around and then having to walk backwards for
Hell
the rest
no.
of your life. Okay. Next one.
Transportation, like teleportation is what I meant.
Oh, great. Yeah.
For sure. Especially paying for a rent in LA. Oh my God. Could you imagine paying like rent in Utah or some shit and then just teleporting?
That's a really good point. This is good. This is going to come in handy for my next
These category. Are all superpowers people in their 30s would pick, by the way. I'm like, how can I get rid of healthcare and traffic?
That's so true. You're like, and to have amazing lungs where it doesn't matter how shitty the air is. I'm just breathing in pure oxygen.
Exactly. And by that immortality, I'm talking about like Wolverine immortality, yeah, where that shit's all fine. Or yes. Deadpool immortality.
100% yes.
So that teleportation, and then the third one. Ooh, the third one's going to be rough. I would say it's between flying and super strength. I would say super strength because I am, I mean, I lift weights, but I'm still very physically weak, and that's annoying. So,
yeah. I guess you really have to, you when you realize, when you see like Marvel movies and people start revealing more about what that training is like, that you're like, that is your full-time job. Like yeah. Your full-time job before you do something like that is only to be thinking about what you wish you were eating, not be eating that, and then be working out and constantly
Bro,
eating.
Hearing about what Natalie Portman went through for Black Swan was fucking wild.
Yeah.
It was just, oh
which
my
is
God.
Also like yeah. just the life of a ballet dancer in general sounds awful. You know,
truly.
Goodbye, toes. Goodbye. I mean, I have so much admiration for it, but that is a true example of like a thing that has been designed to look effortless that costs your body so
crazy.
Much, you know,
it's so crazy.
Did you ever do that? Do you ever take ballet?
No, I took traditional Indian dancing, Bhagnatyam, but yeah. It was like, I would get bored and go off beat, and then my dance teacher would threaten to lock me in a closet, and I just lost
That's
interest.
That's a big no thank you for me.
I know.
That was like the best go-to is like, I will lock you in a closet.
Yeah, and then like, because the whole thing is like, I don't know how to explain it. There's like a squat that you do when you're mm-hmm. like dancing, mm-hmm. and you have to stay low enough, and so her whole thing was like, I'm going to make you go in the closet and then squat with a stick in between your legs until you like focus, and like all the other Indian kids would be laughing, but I was like, I think she's serious. Like I was
did it so never one no one ever took her up on that, was like scared enough that they actually took her up on it.
Yeah, I don't think she ever did that to any kid. I was just a constant
really
threat.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was like, this is terrifying. I don't want to do this.
No,
and this is
joke.
Yeah. And the dancing, it's really beautiful, especially when you get to the more advanced stuff, but it is very slow and rhythmic.
Yeah.
And I just did not have the attention span for it. I was like, what if I throw in a twirl? And she was like, stop it.
That's totally how I would be. 100% how I would be, for sure. I'd be like, what about when I move across the room real quick like this? You know? They're like, no, you need to do something else with that energy. Okay, super strength, love it. All right, speaking of teleportation, even if you don't get teleportation as a superpower, we still have the ability to teleport you to and from a vacation home that you have.
Ooh.
So three places in the world where you know you don't have to sit on a plane to get there. We're just going to send you there. Could be a big city, could be like, you know, island, whatever you want, three.
Okay, I've like, if I had traveled more, I'd have such better answers, but we're just going to do this. Okay,
I think it could be places you've never been that you've just heard are amazing also.
Okay, so one is New York, just because I love living there, so I always want the, it would be nice to just
Absolutely.
Always have the ability to be there.
And always have the ability to be like, and now I'm good, and like, just peace yeah. out real quick and not have to like, go to JFK.
I know, it's like, oh, yeah. So sorry, what, the 6 train is down? Yeah. No, thank you.
Exactly.
So New York, and then Mumbai, India, because I always wanted to spend more time there, but like anytime you go to India, the flight is so long, it's like, and it's expensive. Oh. You have to spend 2 weeks there to
sure.
like make it worth it. But then
sure.
it's like, as an adult, who has the ability to take off 2 weeks? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I totally get
so
that.
So hard. So I would love the ability to transport to Mumbai and then just experience what it's like to live there outside
yeah.
of my visiting my cousin's living room. So that would be nice.
Beautiful.
So definitely Mumbai, India. And then the third would have to be, I want to say, oh, I'm in between Tokyo, which I've never been to, and Hawaii. Which I've also never been to,
yeah.
and I know Hawaii is not.
I know
is not a city; it is a state.
No, no. That's but I get it. I was just gonna
I guess
say,
Honolulu.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, the question what I enjoy and what I think I would also do is, I mean, I don't tend to be the person that's like, just give me, you know, a like a beautiful hut on stilts on a beautiful white sand beach in Mali or Bali or, you know, Indonesia or something. Like, I want to go there, but that's not the place I would always want to be able to go back to. I would choose a different city. I would choose a city, but that's what you've done. You've picked Mumbai. You've picked New York City. Like, I would probably throw London in there. Just in terms
of,
like...
I've never been, but I'm like, I don't know if I... Because they're always like, oh, and it's rainy and foggy. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I've been there a few times, and it just depends on the time of year. Like, you could definitely be like, and I will be in London in the summer when it doesn't rain that much. And when I, again, can just peace out and teleport. I hope you get there. It's a really fun city that I only kind of fell in love with, like, in a real way this last year. Even though I've been there before, I was like, yeah, London's fine. But for some reason this last time, probably because it was one of the first places I went, like, after, you know, I mean, I had been traveling. Yeah. To go someplace internationally.
Yeah.
I'm realizing right now that it was like, like, I'm across the ocean again, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of it. But
oh, okay, wait. So it's, I'm going to say,
but you said
Tokyo,
Honolulu or Tokyo?
Honolulu.
Tokyo also amazing, and Honolulu, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You can't lose. Can't lose.
Okay. I'm going to say Honolulu just to mix shit up.
Great. Great, great, great. Then you have a little bit of city, and then you have just a beautiful island of wonderfulness. Okay. Okay. And then final category. I'm trying to think of anything that, like, I'll wish I would, that, like, you know, I'll be like, oh, no. And then I realized I should have asked that. This is where I really put the pressure on myself. I would love to, I mean, how are you with music now? Is it a big part of your life? Is it, like, do you have bands that you love and, like, singer-songwriters, or that's not?
I mean, I enjoy music and I have artists I like, but I'm not, like, a huge.
Oh, art. Oh, my God. Art. Sorry. Now I'm realizing. Yes. Okay. I've got it. Three artists from any era, any time that you can collaborate on something with. And you don't even have to know what that looks like yet. But if you know that you love Degas and you want to, you know, like, somehow you and Degas cook up some amazing piece of beautiful collaborative art. So three artists that you would love to work with.
Do they have to be visual artists?
Not at all.
Or could they just be? Okay.
Not at all.
I would probably pick writers.
Yeah.
If I'm being honest,
That's perfect.
And I'm
that's art, baby.
I only know a handful of their names, so this is going to be bad. But
I would have to know three. You're golden.
Whoever the directors are that wrote Everything Everywhere All at Once, I forget that pair of dudes. Them, because I think they're amazing writers.
No,
and
they
absolutely
are. And I also have absolutely no idea. Like, all I want to say is Michelle Yeoh over and over and over
again. I know.
And that doesn't apply. I mean, it applies, but it doesn't apply. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. It's very, all you have to type in is every, and that's the first search that comes up, by the way. The Daniels. Daniels Kwan
the Daniels,
and Shiner.
Yes. Okay.
That's what's confusing, because you want to make their last name the same, but it's the Daniels. Great. Okay, so we got them.
And then I would say one of the writers from Coco. I'll just pick one.
Yes.
So Adrian Molina. Why not? Yes. And then maybe like a comedian, because I guess that's what I done. Maybe Wanda Sykes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Total badass. Fabulous. Okay, let me do this. Let me get a word from you that you think helps sort of describe, like, what you want this weekend to look like for yourself.
What I want this weekend to look like.
Or like a feeling that you would like to have, like, during the weekend or something.
Hopeful.
Great. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Okay, I am going to come up with your 100% guaranteed MASH alternate universe. And this is a wonderful time for you to tell people where to find you, what you're working on. We didn't get a chance to really get into it. This is a great opportunity to get everybody on board and over to where your wonderful projects are.
You can find me at the letter s-comedy.com, and you can find my album Dog Show there. I also have a web series called Downward Mango that you can watch for free, so definitely download my album, watch the web series. tour dates, social media, all of that is on there. So that's where my, and if you want to look me up directly on social media, just search my name, S-U-B-H-A-H. But again, s-comedy.com has all the stuff.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, give me a couple more seconds and then mm-hmm. I will have one. I'm already excited about what's happening here. yes, indeed. Don't worry, we'll cut out all my hemming and hawing. Okay.
I'm so excited.
If you told child me that I would still be doing MASH when I was this old, I would be like, ew, what? Why do I suck? And yet, I love it. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. This is good. This is good. Okay. Great. All right. I first want to congratulate you. Look, everything, if you were living in a great area of New York City, you're in an apartment. What are you, in a house? Mm-hmm. No, you're in an apartment. Even the houses are apartments. Like, mm-hmm. I got to go to the Dakota once, and I was like, this is a mansion. This is a one mansion inside a building of mansions. It was insane. Like, my brain doesn't, when I hear apartment, I like, you know. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many, like, fabulous apartments I see on television. I'm still like, that's not an apartment. That's a castle. Come on. You have a beautiful apartment in New York City. You have a beautiful, can teleport there in New York City. You also have the ability to jump into the Matrix. Don't mind if I do. Extremely cool. There, listen, in the Matrix, as we know, like, reality is able to be manipulated anyway. But there and in your regular life, super strength. Alert, super
yes.
strength.
Yes.
Super strength. Some of that, I'm going to guess, like, you're going to burn a lot of calories with your super strength. You're going to need to be replenished. One of the things that you can have whenever you want is the delicious Matur Paneer, is so good. And you also have the ability to, and this is, now, look, you're going to take advantage of it. No one's going to say you're not. You made it very clear that when you head back to those early 2000s, you're going to be yes. moving and shaking. There's going to be a lot going on.
Hell yeah.
So I don't even know, like, I think it's almost like, yes, you're a paleontologist and you're very passionate about your work, but you're not doing it to survive, which is why you're able to, like, really invest in the significance, the historical significance, the scientific significance of it, because you like, also invested in Apple. You're fine.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're fine forever. You're fine forever. you also are going to be collaborating with Adria Molina on something.
Cool.
One of the marvelous, marvelous creators of Coco, which is utterly magical. And I mean, I don't know how to tell you this, but you are experiencing all this with your own beloved husband. He made the leap
Aww.
With you into this alternate universe. And there you are together. And I think realistically, you know, like, Yami and Thanos, they're going to scene steal. You know what I mean? They're going to be like, they're going to make it all about them. Instead of this wonderful adventure that you get to have.
Especially Thanos, who's going to be trying to kill half the population.
He's going to be snapping his fingers, flipping coins right and left. No good. Supa, this is a wonderful match. I feel very, very excited for you.
I
hope that you have a fantastic weekend. It was a weekend full, a hopeful feeling about the weekend. I want all of that to come true exactly as you want it to. And everybody, I hope that you will check out all the rad stuff that's happening in your world. Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This was really fun.
Yeah. Bye, everybody. Talk to you next week. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Hey, remember when we could save kittens from trees or lunch on skyscrapers, bring the villains to their knees? Maybe we should.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.